TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Monday. Welcome to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Today, we will talk about a few things. We have a guest. Before we do, let me talk to you guys about something.
What?
Mainly
what's
you.
That, what's that something?
Ramo. Football.
Oh, football.
Are you ready for some football?
Monday night football.
Who's playing again tonight?
Ooh, the Bears and Green Bay.
Yes.
That's going to be a really good game. Let's go, Green Bay.
No, what I was going to say is actually I was talking to a friend of mine. Remember I told you guys, we talked about it last week. We get a lot of emails here. If you guys want to send them, you can. Comments at geekspeakradioshow.com. You get a lot of emails from people telling me they want us to do that fantasy football thing.
Yeah.
I actually signed up over the weekend.
Well, how could you sign up? You have a team?
Too much work.
Yes and no.
But honestly.
I know, it is a lot of work.
Because it's not just, I had somebody who is a fantasy football geek.
Yeah.
Literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way I talk about Star Trek and Star Wars and comic books and all that, he can talk about football and everything else like that.
Yeah.
And he did. And he told me that if we want to do something like that, because I asked him, hey, you know, I showed him the emails and I said, yeah, that's cool. If you guys want to do it, what league are you going to be in?
That's the problem.
Yeah, to pick a league and stuff.
The NFL. What do you mean, what league?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of websites that all offer fantasy football. But again, it goes even smaller than that. You actually have a group of friends like us. Like us in the room, we could be a league.
Yeah, but then he broke it down and he said that basically you have your draft, which you already had, I guess, before the season started.
Yeah.
Then in whatever league you're in, you can like the real NFL, you can have waivers, you can drop, you can cut people, you can trade people, but only within the leagues.
Yeah.
So we may go ahead and do the report, but that may mean absolutely nothing to one league and
maybe
to another league. So, you know what? Too much work.
And it's based on the players' performances and you know, their statistics. And it's one of those things where, you know what, you can't, I mean, what's my players going to have to do with the other teams over the other league, because it's going to be totally different. Only certain people could relate to who I pick.
Yeah, and that shows how much I don't play. And same thing with Ethan. Ethan goes over when he was on. We were talking about it, and we compared it to playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's not like that at all.
Well, you know, it's very
how much we don't play fantasy football.
It's funny. Over the weekend, I watched this one new TV show on FX called The League, and it's basically about five guys. And it's about their league, their fantasy football league. It's one of the funniest shows. Last night I was laughing so hard out of my chair. I literally was just falling to the floor laughing. It's funny, but it's poop humor. If you like, you know.
Poop humor.
Yeah, like, you know, stuff like.
You mean like Rod Roddenberry? He said he was Rod Poo Poo Roddenberry. Nobody told you that story about him and his dad.
No, not like that. More like hangover humor. So if you like The Hangover, you're gonna like The League.
Well, if you remember the conversation we ended the show with on Friday. Obviously, no, I don't. I don't find those things funny at all. Like Billy Crystal said once, you're not funny, you're not fun.
No, but I don't know if I'm going to compare that to The Hangover, but it's a funny show. I think, I mean, you guys should watch it if you want to get know more about the league itself.
So it deals with fantasy football or just whatever?
Fantasy football. That's a cool storyline. I like it. It's like us guys. I don't know if it goes for both ways, guys and girls. They can all relate to it. It's people who do fantasy football in their real life could, you know, want to watch this show because they could relate to it.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed or not. Angel can be one of the guys when she needs to.
Yeah.
And when it comes to playing football, she throws a lot harder than both of you guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Long pass.
I didn't notice.
Well, wait till after. We do get a little bit of sun today. So we also talked on Friday how coming this Friday will be October 1st, the start of Angel and my favorite month, Halloween.
Yep.
One of the big things, I mean, this is going to be our theme, the spirit of Halloween. We're going to try to make Halloween what it used to be. Yes, scary, but in a fun way.
he's giggling now.
No, you know, it's very funny. I had the same conversation yesterday with a friend. And it's like, yeah, do you remember Halloween when you were a kid? We're like, yeah, it was really, you know, it was some good times. And like now it's just like, it's like another, Mardi Gras or it's like another sequel to Mile.
Yeah, it's just, it's losing the spirit, like I said.
Yeah,
so that's
what
we're going to do. The interviews that we do, we're going to start off with a big one. Chloe Moretz, who's starring in Let Me In on Friday. She'll be on. to talk to us about that movie. But basically, it won't be just the stars. We have a lot of more stars, and you guys can check GeekSpeakRadioShow.com for the schedule. A lot of more of the stars, because that's when they all come out. The Saw movies, all the scary movies come out in October. So we'll have them, of course, but also haunted houses. You told me about a haunted maze that you went to.
Yeah.
Or cornfield, I think it was.
It's pretty cool. It's, man,
I heard about that.
Sure,
I really,
it sure scared me. Yeah. It's called, it's in Hollister, California, and, it's basically, it's a corn maze, but they turned it into a haunted house. So you got to go through the maze, and then in the middle of it, you go through the haunted house.
That's cool.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre happens. Leatherface runs out with the,
Is that a real chainsaw, right?
Yeah. He runs out with the chainsaw. Nah, nah, and you guys are running for your life.
Well, I think nowadays, I think that's a lawsuit waiting to happen, actually.
Yeah.
But it was one of the fondest memories of my life because we were with these girls. And it's very funny because I booked it. I was the first one to run away from.
We're shocked.
No way.
No, but the girls, one of the girls just fell to the floor. Like, don't kill me. And I'm laughing like the, I'm just laughing the whole time because I'm like, get up, girl. Just get up. He's coming. And you just fall down to the floor. It's very funny on how people's basic.
So the same reaction you have in movies.
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, you see people's reactions and how they behave differently. And for me, when in my head, I was like, A, you're going to run. Or B, you're going to run. That's the only option. You're not just going to stand there and fall to the floor and let him kill you. But it was one of the funniest things. And, yeah, we're going to try to get them on the show. It's kind of cool. There's a lot of cool mystery places here in San Francisco.
One big tradition we have, it's become a tradition now, is one cartoon is played over Halloween. I think you guys know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess. Angel, who likes cartoons?
The Charlie Brown?
The Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, with Linus and Lucy and all those people.
And Snoopy, too.
And Snoopy and Woodstock and all those people. Linus is my favorite.
Yeah, and you know who created the Peanuts cartoon strip, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Charles M. Schulz.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, here in the Bay Area, in Santa Rosa to be exact, we actually have a museum dedicated to the Peanuts comic strip and to Charles M. Schulz. And on the phone, we have the marketing director from there, Gina Huntsman. Gina, you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, thanks a lot for coming on the show and spending a few minutes with us.
Sure, fun.
Yeah, and let's get into before we get into the museum itself, who came up with the idea for having a Charles M. Schulz museum?
Pretty much Charles Schulz's family and his close friends actually came up with it. He actually knew there was going to be a museum about him. At first he wasn't that excited about it, but he traveled to Japan where they have stores called Snoopy Town, and there was a great artist there called Yoshi Antani who did some amazing things with the Snoopy things that were in Japan, and he thought, oh, well, if we had some bigger pieces in the museum, this might actually be interesting. So in 1997, he said, oh, okay, we'll do that. We'll put a museum together. But unfortunately, he died before they even broke ground for the museum.
Right, and I know the reason why, but people may be wondering right now, well, why is it in Sonoma County? So tell everybody, why is it in Sonoma County?
Yeah, you're right, because it could be anywhere, really, because Snoopy and Charlie Brown are loved all over the world. And in fact, people told Charles Schulz's wife, Jeannie, you know, why don't you put it in New York? Or why don't you put it in Tokyo or, you know, San Francisco even? But this is where Charles Schulz spent his days. This is how he spent his life, really, here. On the grounds near the museum. He had built an ice arena back in 1969 here in Santa Rosa, and he actually had a studio built very close by. He could walk, so he would walk every morning and get his breakfast at the ice arena, which has a cafe called the Warm Puppy Cafe, and then he would walk back and draw, and then he'd come back and get lunch and watch skaters and do whatever, and then he'd go back. So this is really where he lived. And that's why they decided to put the museum very close to where he spent his life, the last 30 years of his life.
Yeah, and we do have a link, by the way, on the on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com to the museum, Charles M. Schulz Museum. It's on there. Go to the links page, and you'll find it there.
Yeah.
It's on the website also if you guys go and read about it. But how did the nickname that Charles M. Schulz had was Sparky? Where did he get that name from?
Really interesting. His life had so many pieces that sort of pointed to cartooning. He wasn't in a family that was involved in cartooning. His father was a barber in St. Paul, Minnesota, and second day he was born, his uncle came in and said, let's call him Sparky. And it was after Barney Google's horse in the cartoon strip. And so he was actually named after a cartoon character, which is really interesting.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of people didn't know that. But going into the museum, of course, they're going to find that out, among other things, on there.
Right.
Any of the Peanuts characters from the comic strip, were any of them based on anyone that Charles M. Schulz met in his life?
Well, you know, it's interesting because cartoonists, and I'm sure when you talk to quite a few of them on your radio show, they draw from everything they know, you know, everything. They're always thinking of what to talk about and what to do. And so I think it comes from everybody sort of he met. But I've heard his wife Jean speak about that they're different, you know, all sort of the characters came from different aspects of himself, you know. Linus was the philosopher. Charlie Brown ended up being, you know, the guy who was the lovable loser but always hopeful. You know, Lucy was the crabby one. So these are aspects that, you know, in fact, we can all sort of relate to that in our own selves, some of them. You know, I mean, I can certainly see different characters that I can relate to different times of the day. So I think that's what happened with Charles Schulz.
Yeah, and that's what makes the comic strip so loved all over the world, not just here locally in the Bay Area, but all over the world, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can just relate to him. And I think a lot of the things he talks about, too, are universal in nature. Losing or unrequited love or any of these things, sort of they're timeless, and we can kind of relate to them no matter when he did the strip.
Right. And we're talking to Gina Hunsinger. She's the marketing director at the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center. And like I said, there's a link on geekspeakradioshow.com. Let me take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the museum itself. Not literally, but, well, you guys know what I mean. Stay right there.
Radio show will be right back. Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet.
Attention all bases. Attention all bases. This is
the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we are back on the Geek Speak Radio Show on a Monday. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday. Yes. A fun day of the week. It depends on what you do. So we're talking to Gina Hunsinger, marketing director at the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center located here in Sonoma County. And Gina, before we go on, my co-host Romo actually had a question for you. Go ahead, Romo.
Hi, Gina. It's Romo. I just wanted to know, who's your favorite character from the whole Peanuts game?
That is so hard because I love so many. I love Pigpen just because he's, you know, he's so dirty all the time. But I probably Snoopy. I mean, honestly, I probably like growing up, Snoopy was my favorite.
Nice, nice.
Although
mine
now
was,
I.
What's that?
What was yours?
Oh, Snoopy was my favorite as well.
Yeah, he could just do so many cool things.
Yeah, he can, and he sure knows how to dance.
That's right. That's right. And he's always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be a helicopter, you know. He was an astronaut. He's a writer.
Yeah.
He was everything.
But, hey, it's Angel, and I have a question. A lot of the cartoons that come out now seem like they don't really have a storyline or meaning behind their characters, and it just seems like really, like, instant, like, here, you know, we're shooting or we're fighting, and it's not much of a storyline. What was your favorite storyline from the, you know, Peanuts comic strips or the movies or?
Yeah, you know, I really do. The more, you know, when I first got this job, I didn't have as much respect as I do now. I mean, truly, because I read the strips every day. Charles Schulz was a genius. I mean, he could get to the bottom of, he would go somewhere and he would observe something that, you know, most people don't see, you know, and then he would make it funny. Like he would bring it up and then he would sort of make it funny. And so we could all sort of look at it. And if a cartoonist or an artist today isn't doing that, isn't getting to things that are more important to us, you know, at the deeper levels, I don't know if they're really speaking to people or if it will stay around for a long time. Whereas Charles Schulz, he just got to things that were important to people. And I think he did it just because he was trying to make people laugh, but he still had universal themes like unrequited love or, you know, Peppermint Patty and Marcy and their, you know, funny relationship with each other where you know, they went back and forth, and how Peppermint Patty was really an independent young woman at the time in the 70s. That was a big deal for a girl to, you know, sort of be independent and do the things that she did.
Yeah, and all those themes definitely were going to be mentioned earlier. That it is loved, the comic strip, and the movies also are loved all over the world. So let's get into the museum itself, not literally, okay, of course. But and again, there is a link on geekspeakradioshow.com if you guys want to go and take a look. What are the museum's operating hours?
We are open, let me make it easy, 11 to 5 every day except Tuesday. But actually on the weekend we're open from 10 to 5. So it's just 10 to 5 on the weekends and then 11 to 5 every day except for Tuesday. In the winter. Of course, in the summer, we're open every day.
Right. And not to give too much away, because we do want people to go and be surprised when they get there, but what can they expect? What can a visitor expect to see on a visit?
Well, you know, the reason why they put the museum in was to show his art at its original size, because in the newspaper, it's so small. But actually, if you can see, his original strips are quite a bit bigger, and you can see the line of his art, and his art is actually very it's beautiful, and I think his family and friends wanted people to be able to see that. They didn't want them stuck in a you know, a closet somewhere where people couldn't really enjoy that, and they had been able to enjoy that themselves throughout the years, but people were really only getting to see them, you know, in the newspaper or on animated specials. So we have one gallery that's always going to be his original art strips. And he drew 17,897 strips in his life. So that's a lot. So we have about 7,000 in our that we've been able to get back. So we could change those for 7 years and never duplicate anything. So we have so many of his original strips in our archives that we're very lucky. But then we also have two other galleries that we change all the time. We change things at least 9 times a year here at the museum. And so the main gallery right now is Peanuts Naturally, which is going and showing, you know, kids and adults how to live in the environment in a friendly way, but with the humor of Charles Schulz, which is really funny. So, in fact, looking back in the strips, he had Lucy was planting a garden, and so she has them out there planting. But you know what they're planting?
What's that?
French fries. French fries. So she has Snoopy out there planting French fries. So Lucy was always confused. She thought there were 48 suns, but she was so convinced that she was right that, you know, it's always fun to see those things. And, so that one's about the environment. And actually that exhibition is going to travel through the United States for 5 years. It's going to go to all over the country, to 31 different museums and places that they'll put that in. And that's a very children-friendly one. There's lots of things. Kids can plant seeds and harvest vegetables, and they can see what their footprint is, their carbon footprint is, and so can adults. So that's a really fun exhibit right now. And then if you go upstairs, you can see Charles Schulz's studio. We actually brought the desk that he drew on for 50 years. And that is, to me, that was my favorite place when I first came here, because you can see where he spent his time creating. And there's something magical about his desk, because that's where Snoopy sprang from, and Charlie Brown, and, you know, all those ideas came in that space. So that's a great place that never changes. And then we have another area where it's his timeline about his life and who he was as an artist. Then we have another upstairs gallery that changes too. It's a lot smaller, but it always has fun things in there about his interests or whatever, you know, he was doing. We just change them all the time. So you never have the same experience when you come. So you can come more than once, and you'll always be entertained.
And Gina, how do you go about, or how does the museum go about picking certain pieces or a theme?
Well, we have a curatorial staff, and we actually have a committee, and they go through and go back and forth about what things they want to talk about and what things that they have in the collection, or what can they borrow that they can put up under a certain theme. The next one that we're going to have in the downstairs gallery, which is very fun, is going to be about sibling rivalry, which is about the Van Pelts. Van Pelts and the Browns, of course. I'm sorry, Charlie Brown. So it's going to be about how they interact with each other as siblings, which is very funny, how they dealt with each other.
And tell us about the current and upcoming exhibits to the museum.
Okay. Well, we have one right now that's Penis Naturally, which I talked about, which is about the environment. We have another one that just opened this week, and it's called Searching Out New Territory, Experiments in Peanuts. And this is about all the things that he tested, like the characters that failed in Peanuts, that didn't stay in the strip. The themes that he tried or the techniques he tried in the strip that he decided to pull, or some of the things that actually worked out really well. And he did that. You know, we think that everything was the same in the strip from the beginning. But it changed like any artist stuff changes, and he was always trying new things because he was an artist. And this is such a fun one to come if you're really a Peanuts aficionado, because you will see so many things you may never have seen before, and it's explained, and I just really enjoy that particular exhibition. Another one that's opening up October 1st, which is this week as well, is Portraits of Schultz, and that is about different pictures that Charles Schultz of him himself, actually. But the reason why we're doing this exhibition is because the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. is on Friday unveiling its first picture of Charles Schultz in the National Portrait Gallery. So it's very exciting to have Charles Schultz's picture there with all the other great Americans. And we are going to have a replica of the picture that has actually been donated to the National Portrait Gallery here at the museum. And it will be up through February 6th, as well as some other pictures of Charles Schultz, and actually some that he drew of himself, which are fun. And then later we have January 29th, the Browns and the Van Pelts, and that's about the siblings and Peanuts and how they dealt with each other. And then we have coming up in February, Turn Another Page, which has to do with other artistic things that Charles Schultz got involved in. He actually had manuscripts, paintings, advertising art, and some earlier one-panel cartoons that he did that were before Peanuts. So it looks at him as an artist, that particular exhibition, not just with Peanuts, but with his whole life's work.
And also, not an exhibit, but also you have what you call Museum Mondays for little ones, right? It's every Monday through next year, I believe. Yeah, tell us about that.
I'll tell you about a few things that we have that are ongoing for your listeners, because they're really fun. We have things for all different ages, but the littlest ones are called Museum Mondays for Little Ones, and now we're starting it every Monday through February, because it's starting to, you know, get colder and rain, and parents need to take their kids somewhere. So it's from 10 to noon. And it's $5 per child, and the adults are free if they come before 11. So, in fact, we have one this morning. Got to get in the car fast, though, to get here. The other thing that we have every second Saturday of the month is we have a cartoonist come in, and you can hang out with them and watch them draw. And it's very informal, and it's very down to earth. And a lot of times you really can have a lot of time with the cartoonist. So it's a nice thing if you're interested in that type of art. And this October 9th, we have Steve Purcell, who's currently working at Pixar. And he won the 2007 Eisner for his own comic, which is called Sam and Max. And they come every second Saturday. We have a cartoonist here, so that's always fun. Other things that we do, like in the holidays, we'll have a gingerbread dog house workshop for kids. We have cartoon classes. For New Year's Eve, we have a toast at noon for everybody, but it's a root beer toast because Snoopy, of course, loved root beer.
Right.
So we have all of those things. We have classes, too, for adults. In fact, November 6th, we have a master class about animating, and it's from Bobby, let me see if I can say his name right, Postada, and he worked on Toy Story 2 and 3, and he's taking people behind the scenes of his animating work at Pixar. So that's that'll be very fun to attend if you're interested in that type of thing.
And also, speaking of Snoopy, you also have Snoopy the Musical coming up on Saturday, October 30th, right?
You know, the story behind that is we have some kids in our local area from Hillsburg who are doing Snoopy the Musical, and they are doing it up in Hillsburg. But we said, well, why don't you come down and do it in the theater? It would be so fun. So it's a local musical from kids in this area, and they're going to be doing it. It's October 30th, a Saturday at 2 p.m.
And is that included in the museum admission, or is that separate?
It's free. It's free when you if you come to the museum and you pay. All of the stuff that I've talked to, except for maybe the classes, are free with museum admission. And admission is $10 for adults, $5 for children. Kids under 3 are free. Seniors are seniors and kids with a school ID, they get in for $5 as well.
Yeah, we have a couple of cartoon art museums here in San Francisco, and they have some educational programs. Do you have any there at the museum?
Well, we do. As far as classes go?
Yeah.
We do. We have in the holidays for kids, we have classes. We're having a claymation class that's happening every Saturday for sort of high school and middle school, high school kids. And then in the holiday season, we always have cartooning classes and Lego animation classes. Those are always really popular. Our Gingerbread Doghouse class is very popular in the Christmas time. And then we do have some master classes for adults. We just have one this quarter, which is the one I talked about animating at Pixar, and that's on the 6th of November. But we do, and then we just let people know, as we put that together.
You have a newsletter, or is this all on the website?
It's all on the website. You can look at it under calendars on our homepage, and look it up. I know we always have something going on. We have a lot happening here. It's so good to be around.
Yeah, like you said, you will definitely get a different trip, different visit every time you go. It's something different, not the same thing twice. And again, the links are on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. Gina Huntinger, Marketing Director for the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center in Sonoma County here in San Francisco Bay Area. Thanks a lot, Gina, for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you so much. And can I add one thing? We have a Facebook page. It's really fun. We put up a strip every day, and we talk about the history of it. So it's just Charles M. Schulz Museum. And if you're interested in peanuts and you want to know more, just go on. So thank you so much for having me on.
Our pleasure. And you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, you come back too. Come see us.
I certainly will. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. So there you go. So I guess we're taking a field trip pretty soon.
Field trip.
Yeah. Wow, 60 years of the Peanuts, man, and celebrating it would be perfect to be there to celebrate the 60th anniversary.
I mean, like, even yesterday, Sunday when you get the comic strips, there's the Peanut comic strips, and I was like, simple, fun, but it's universal at the same time.
You know, I forgot to mention also, this Saturday, October 2nd, is also free admission day, so it's free all day for all ages.
Nice.
And that's, Gina mentioned it, that's when one of the art, a local artist is going to be there. I think she's the one from Pixar is next Saturday, but somebody will be there. You can check it on the website again. It's on geekspeakradioshow.com. All the links are there. But it's free admission day. That's in everybody's budget nowadays, especially.
Yeah.
So there you go. Charles M. Schulz Museum here. What's the matter, Damon?
I was going to say, and then we got to go up there to make sure we get some of that root beer. Henry, root I know beer. You're a fan of root beer.
I wonder if they can make a root beer float.
Are you calling me Snoopy?
Yeah.
Woodstock. Here's little Woodstock.
Sure can dance like it, though.
Hey.
Damien?
You're the one that always has that blankie and sleeps all the time.
Oh, Linus?
You're Linus.
He's cute, so I don't mind being Linus.
It's not a blanket, it's her jacket.
But my security blanket is my backpack.
I guess I'm Charlie Brown.
What I still want to know is, how come on a day like today when it's 90 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning and now it's almost like 100, why do you still have that jacket on?
Yes.
Hey, I'm cold.
What?
You got to eat some more. That's all I got to say.
I eat a lot.
So anyway, let me take a break. When we come back, there's a big movie coming out this weekend. A few of them, actually. One called Let Me In. We're going to have Chloe on there. Another one is the Facebook movie, The Social Network. You guys heard of that?
With Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I heard about it.
But it actually has some real actors in it, too.
Yeah, that too.
So we're going to hear from one of those real actors when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
nonstop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Back to the Geek Speak Radio Show.
One of the most important things in your life.
On TalkZone.com.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Here's Henry and Romo.
And here we are. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Had a nice visit from Gina from the Talzam Schultz Museum, and they're all begging me here during the break. We gotta go. We'll go. It is gonna be a nice day anyway. It's even nicer up there around Santa Rosa. I know the area very well. So we'll do that, and we'll report back maybe tomorrow or later in the week, and maybe some pictures. Finally, we get some pictures up on the
finally pictures.
So like I was saying before the break, there's a couple of big movies. It's going to be a good movie weekend, but a couple of big movies coming out this weekend. One of them, of course, Let Me In. And again, we'll have Chloe on Friday to talk about that. Mm-hmm. The other one is The Social Network, which is basically the story of Facebook.
Do you think it's too early for that movie to come out? I mean, Facebook is still around. I mean, do you think it should have been around, like, let's say 10 years from now? Or
I think marketing-wise, it's a good idea to have it out now because it's so popular.
Oh, I see.
However,
that's
probably its jump the shark moment for Facebook.
Yeah.
Because, no, for MySpace, that used to be the Facebook. And then where's MySpace now? Exactly.
It's alone.
But this thing, it's done by David Fincher. He's a very good director. And he doesn't paint, I haven't seen it, but he doesn't paint a very nice picture of most of the characters. Jesse Eisenberg plays the main character, Mark Zuckerberg, who created Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's part of the controversy double thing there that the movie deals with. And that happened in real life too. And Jesse Eisenberg, we last saw him in Zombieland a year ago with Woody Harrelson. So he's the main character in this one. One of the main antagonists, if you want to call him that way, in real life and also in the movie, of course, were two twins who were integral in the creation of Facebook.
Huh.
And that's Cameron and Tyler. I don't want to give too much away. And I don't know if you guys know the Facebook story that much. And if you read
it
or not.
A little bit.
But those two twins, I'll save it because it's a really good, story. The Facebook story. The movie does take a few liberties with it, like most Hollywood adaptations do anyway. But playing that character, they're twins, but playing a character is one actor. And he plays the two twins. He plays Cam and Tyler. And this past weekend they had a press day for the Social Network. Everybody was there, all the actors, director, everybody was there. And we didn't get to go, but Steve from Collider.com provides a lot of the news stories and some of the interviews, like the one you're about to hear right now. He got to interview a lot of the cast, and we'll hear some more maybe later in the week. But right now we're going to hear one of the interviews, and we won't hear the complete interview, number one, because it's like 20 minutes long. Second of all, because he did it in conjunction with another website, and I didn't get permission to use their part. So we'll just use Steve's part, Steve from Collider's parts of the interview, which are pretty good, actually. I mean, the other interview, the other journalist is, he's also from another film movie site, but he asked kind of like not fanboy questions, but what do you call them?
Like random, like things that we don't really want to know.
Like fluffer questions?
Not fluffer, but
like we already know, like more details. We wanted more details.
Like, kind of like what you would get on Entertainment Weekly or Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, something
stupid
like that.
Questions. Just right?
Like, what was it like working with David Fincher? What was it like? But
oh, tell me. Yeah, tell me how Justin Timberlake looked. Something like that.
He did actually ask that. So, yeah, there are all the kind of questions that he asked. But Steve, who's a fellow geek like us, he asked geek questions.
Yeah.
And
questions.
It led to some really, really good answers. And matter of fact, let's hear it right now.
I definitely want to ask you, generally, with David Fincher and the fact that it is David Fincher, when you go in and you are obviously auditioning, there's an added, I'm sure, level of nervousness.
Oh, dude, my knee started shaking as soon as I walked into the room. When I first walked into the room, it was Sorkin, and that was surreal because I've always respected this guy. Sort of I've always venerated this guy. I think that he's one of the best living writers that we had in Hollywood. And then with Fincher, it kind of changed my life. I mean, seriously, from the moment I saw Fight Club, I was just like, this is the best director that I've ever seen. This is my favorite movie. This is the funniest movie I've seen. I love it. And when I walked in to see Sorkin, it was surreal. It was like, I couldn't respect your talent more. I think you're amazing. But then when I
thanks.
Saw Fincher there. You're Sorkin, for example. I'll make you Fincher. But then when I walked into Fincher's got a goatee, that's, you know, that's right.
Yeah.
But when I walked into South Fincher, I was just terrified. I mean, he's a demigod. He's the smartest human being I've ever been around. He's voraciously intelligent. He's amazing. Yeah, he's insane.
Well, I was going to say, could you talk a little bit about the physicality of the role? Obviously, you mentioned you had all that training for the races, but the fact is that you know, there's a lot of playing these two different people. There's a lot of acting involved. There's a lot of, well, there's physicality. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we wanted to establish a different physicality between the two twins. We wanted to create two characters, not caricatures. We didn't want to just go with the good twin, bad twin, or like the big, you know, rich jocks who are like picking on the nerd. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to really create two distinct personalities that operated as one unit. And one of the things we would do for that was you can come in with body language. These guys, how do they sit? How do they sit that's differently? You know, maybe Cameron, wanting to be the Harvard gentleman, will tend to sit up straighter in his chair, while as Tyler, you know, he's just kind of like leaning back and like, just watch the back here. I mean, it's they respond differently to different situations. And we worked for a long time before we actually started production to come up with all that.
When I saw the screening afterwards, I honestly, and I mean this, and maybe it's the same for you, I had no idea there were. I thought it was two twins. I really think that it is the best twin work like that, like Hollywood version.
Have you seen Dead Ringers?
You know something.
Jeremy Irons.
I have, but this movie, when you tell people that it's not two actors.
Yeah.
In this, it's one. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They literally flip. So have you encountered people where, like, when you afterwards, they're like, they could not believe it?
Oh, that, after the premiere? Listen to this. A lady walks up to me after the premiere, and she goes, I just want to tell you, you are a fabulous actor. Your brother, he overacts, but you are a good actor. And I literally just go, ma'am, I have to tell you, that is the greatest compliment anyone has ever given me. Even when the word overacting is in there, thank you.
That is excellent. So I'm glad it's not just me.
No, yeah. It's pretty ubiquitous, and it's amazing, because that's what we were working so hard to get, so to see it translate on film. It's really nice.
I definitely, you earlier in our interview, you basically admitted that you're a geek, that you're a geek for David and for Aaron.
Yeah.
I think both of us would agree that we're all geeks of those two individuals.
Smart move, yeah.
My thing is, when you're on set with David all the time, and I'm sure Aaron is around every once in a while, do you ever have the opportunity, or do you ever, were you able to just ever go up to them and sort of geek out over, you wrote that episode of like The West Wing? That was like awesome.
No, but you know what we got, which was better than any other opportunity I could have ever thought to ask for? When we were shooting the scenes in England, we were there for a month and a half to get that, 7 seconds of footage. We were there for a month and a half. And we were staying at a tiny little country inn that was built in the 1530s. It was us, it was Fincher, it was Bob Wagner, his first AD, and it was all these people staying in a little tiny inn that had like no cable and like internet that moved at the speed of smell. So we would film all day, but the sun wouldn't go down in England until 11 o'clock at night when we were there. So we would come back at like 7 o'clock, you know, because we'd start early for the rowing stuff, and then have the rest of the night to just like, we would all sit outside and we would all like drink beer, and like he would tell stories that you're just like, this cannot be real. I mean, just the stuff that we heard and like the conversations we got to have with him were so intimate and so personal. It was like, as a Fincher geek, it was the best opportunity. Like, I wouldn't have changed anything about it.
I have to follow up on that. Is there anything that you could say or could sort of relay to geeks like us and Fincher geeks out there that might, like, without ruining the confidence of a private conversation, but maybe something that like could be talked about that maybe wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying?
When you heard it, you were like, I wish I could share this with the world, and now you can right now.
Okay, this is my chance.
But nothing that would, like, I don't want to, you know.
Okay, no, I'll tell you something. Apparently, Fincher started making movies when he was like 6 years old in his basement with a little like camera, figurines, and like all this stuff. And that was just how he would spend every free moment in his basement making movies. I think when he was 8 years old, he said that he was like trying to develop the film himself or something like that. I mean, he's a complete savant. I mean, he was like trying to develop the film himself and like lit the house on fire or something like that. And, you know, since that moment when I think he lost his eyebrows, he was just like, this is the best business in the entire world. I have to do this the rest of my life. This is, I'll tell you something, so Steven Fincher, when you're on set and when you're with him, you've never seen leadership skills like this. He can take control. Like, when we're on set, I would call him the emperor because he could take control of the entire set immediately without ever raising his voice. He never had to. He never had to rush people. They were just like, whatever he needs, get it done, get it done. And they were afraid of him almost. He ran the ship like a tight unit. It was amazing. But if you get him off of a set and you put him in front of a group of people, he's the most uncomfortable, doesn't know what to do with his hands, you know, says funny things. He just gets uncomfortable. He's really only 100% comfortable when he's directing.
Hence the reason he's making more movies.
Hence the reason he never stops making movies. Yeah.
Is this, can we have one more question? Or? Okay.
Only if it's about Arrested Development.
Well, I have a follow-up.
Go, you go. I wanted to know, obviously, this is a game changer for you, for your career.
Definitely.
And how has that impacted what you're looking at in the future and, you know, possible upcoming projects for you? And, you know what I mean?
This is the first time you've gotten this question.
Yes, exactly. No, you know what? Funny enough, this is actually the first time I've gotten this question.
Oh, well then, the other people aren't doing their jobs very well.
Yeah, seriously. Congratulations to you guys for actually being good journalists. Holy crap. Yeah, bam. I mean, obviously, when you do a project like this and you're involved with something that turns out this great, not that I had anything to do with how it turned out, but I mean, it's...
You had nothing to do with it.
And, dude, I just showed up. I showed up and I said words that someone else wrote. Like, really, how much credit do I deserve here?
I give you some credit.
You're great. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. Shucks. You know, when you're in something like this, it is a game changer. It is the kind of thing where now I can almost not take a project because I need to or because I feel like I need to work. I can kind of keep my options a little bit more open and wait for this to come out and wait for it to open and, you know, really see what happens. I think that it's a great opportunity, and I think that Hollywood is such an insecure town that if someone as amazing as Fincher hires you, they think, well, there's got to be a reason. I have to hire him. I have to hire him because they think I'm as amazing as Fincher, you know?
But, you know, there's definitely, and sorry for doing a follow-up, but like, there's definitely, I don't know, I'm going to get the hook, is there a type of role that you sort of are looking at or the type of character that you have always wanted to play? For example, are you thinking that, like, you know, comedy? Are you thinking you want to do dramatic stuff? Obviously, you know, there's an element of you sort of are going to have to work with the scripts that are given to you.
Yeah, sure.
But is there maybe, you know, you'll probably be given a few different types of options.
Yeah.
So is there maybe one genre over the other? Or specific projects?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, there are, like, projects pending that I'm excited about, but nothing, you know, locked down that I can really talk about. I'm sorry about that. I don't want to jinx myself and don't want to put my foot in my mouth.
I've never heard people getting close to a contract but not signing on the dotted line yet. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's I think it's the first time it's happened in Hollywood, really. Yeah.
It's shocking. No, but getting back to the
question. I don't know, man. Like, it's tough to say. I feel like if I just chose one genre, I'd be limiting myself. But I would love to make a Western. Like, I think that would be powerful. John Ford feeling kind of film, you know.
Alright. Yeah. Oh, actually, I do have one more. I'm sorry. Am I wrong, or were you originally going to be in that certain superhero thing?
You're not wrong. You're 100% right.
So what character were you going to play, and were you down in Australia?
You tried to get me to say it. I was up for the role of Batman in George Miller's Justice League, and it was going to be, in my opinion, one of the greatest comic book movies ever made. The universe that George Miller created and the work that he did on that was unlike anything I've ever seen. He approached that like a psychologist. He wanted to show the truth of these comic book characters in a way that I don't think they've been shown on film before. So it's unfortunate that he never got a chance to show the world what he had, but we all saw it. I mean, we saw all the previous stuff. We saw he had a room bigger than this room that had floor-to-ceiling storyboarded depictions of the entire movie. So you could walk around the entire room, take about an hour, but you would get the entire movie just by walking around the store. And he had it all figured out. And
you were in Australia for a while.
Yeah, like a month and a half. Yeah, training with the special forces every day. I mean, it was a dream. And, you know, I was so upset when it didn't end up happening. But at the same time, you know, I mean, everything happens for a reason, right?
You landed on your feet, though.
Yeah.
You did. So, Armie Hammer, thank you so much for speaking with us today at SlashFilm.com and at Collider.com.
Thank you, SlashFilm and Collider.
Fantastic job, as always, by Steve Frosty Wancha from Collider.com, where we get all of our news and interviews like that. Again, that was Armie Hammer, who's in The Social Network, opening this Friday. He plays two roles in one, actually. He plays the twins, but he's the only one playing the twins, if that makes any sense. It's actually pretty good, well, from what I haven't seen it yet, but from what Steve was telling me before, it's a pretty good effect. And he heard him mention it in the interview, too. I guess they did it. They digitally put his face on the two. One is Army, the other one is another person.
Yeah,
but they put his face cool. digitally on it. Because he was saying, and you heard him in the interview, if you guys understood that. Army was saying it's kind of hard to play, because you know the obvious way is to do the double image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can't interact with that. Like, you can't shake hands or shake him or poke him or things like that. But when it's another body there, you can just digitally put the face on the other actor, which is what George Lucas and company did for Christopher Lee when he played Count Dooku. That wasn't him jumping around fighting Yoda.
It
was somebody else, but they put Christopher Lee's face on the body double.
That's cool.
So anyway, like I said, that was Armie Hammer. The Social Network opens this Friday, as well as Let Me In. Armie in this one plays Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, twins, who, like I said, I could tell you the story what it is, but you guys got to go see it on Friday just to find out what that is. It was kind of interesting that he was saying that he almost played Batman.
I know.
Almost.
The Justice League movie. Yeah. Well, because it's not going to happen now, obviously.
Oh, we know that.
Yeah.
But it would have been interesting to see what he would have done with that. Speaking of movies, something kind of big broke as that interview was going on. I'll tell you exactly what that is in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back.
Hello there.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. And now, more of the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
And here we are. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. So, like I said, some breaking news sort of broke while we were doing that little interview there. Sony, Warner Brothers, and Disney, they're planning $30 video on demand service. You guys know what that means, first of all.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, you're saying that pay $30 a month
for unlimited
viewing movies from streaming online from them.
Oh, wait, not just any movies. These are movies that are out in the theaters. You know how there's like 4 months between the theatrical release and the actual home video release?
Yeah.
In that period there, those 4 months, you can get those movies for those $30 while they're still in the theaters or shortly after they get out of the theater. So before they come out of the home video, you
now,
can
is get it that is it just streaming? I'm not really understanding like what the whole is it like Netflix or I
yeah,
mean
yeah kind of it yeah I think it's designed to go against Netflix and all of those mainly Netflix. Hulu does that also, but they want to pay also. I think that's the way they want to go, but people got use the Hulu being free, so I don't think they're going to want to pay for it.
Yeah.
But Netflix, this is going to be competition for them.
So that's going to be really interesting to see.
So
how this
it's
is gonna
Disney,
be.
Warner Brothers,
Warner Brothers
Sony.
Sony.
So you can get Harry Potter, for example, before it comes out on video, if you pay the $30.
Well, that's actually kind of a good deal, because what if you have kids and...
Well, let's
$10
just say,
a
but
kid
Netflix
or...
is way cheaper than that. I mean, to go but 30 if, bucks a month just
well, I'll tell you
but
this
if you
month,
want to see movies in theaters.
And...
No, I'll tell you this much. This weekend, I went to see the Owl movie, Legends of the Guardians, Zack Snyder's Owl movie.
How was it?
And fantastic. But $45 for a family of four, which was us, $45, $30 against that. Yeah, I think I can wait at home.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't put it that way.
But here's the thing, and somebody mentioned it in this article. Here's the thing. Will it be in 3D also? Because there is, believe it or not, some people that want to see it in 3D.
Yeah. But then, I mean, then you just go to the theaters to watch it in 3D. I mean, really, just that's the whole point of that experience is to get your lazy butt out of your crouch and to go walk into the movie theater.
See, this movie, we saw the Resident Evil movie in 3D.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it when we did the review for it. After a while, I couldn't even tell that it was 3D anymore. This one, you can. Matter of fact, my daughter, who's 4 years old, and she kind of gets a 3D thing, She was reaching out, trying to get the owls, because there's a little baby one, and then one of the feathers comes off, and it's floating right in front of me, and she was trying to grab it. So the whole movie looks pretty good, because you really do get the effect, like you're flying with the owl. So it looks pretty cool, especially
at the end
of Avatar.
I mean, that's pretty much how I felt with when I saw Avatar in 3D in the IMAX theater. Like, you literally felt like you were flying. The visual effects were really pleasing. I think that's what makes it kind of like feeling like you're there in the movie.
You know why I don't like this idea from Sony and Warner Brothers and Disney? Is because right now, as we speak, you guys ever heard of a movie called Monsters?
Monsters Inc.
Yeah, was it with one of the Savage brothers, Fred Savage?
You've seen it?
Yeah.
No, that was Little Monsters.
Oh.
No, that was from a long time ago. No, this movie is not out in theaters yet. It'll be out on Halloween weekend, October 29th. But right now, if you go to my house on the PlayStation Network, it's available for $3.99 before it's out in the theaters.
Wow.
Monsters is a movie. It reminds me a lot of District 9.
Yeah.
It's filmed in that style, and it's about an alien invasion that has happened already, and it happens to be right along the Mexico-North America border.
Nice.
And I don't want to give too much away, but the story is there's a photojournalist that goes to cover the story because supposedly there's aliens being killed because they try to cross over the border.
Yeah.
And now even illegal immigrants who have been crossing over, they don't want them to cross over because, like, hey, this is our planet. You can't cross over.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, it's supposed to make you think, like, wait a minute. The illegal immigrant is telling the alien not to cross. What? So that's the whole premise of that movie. And that's coming out in, like I said, on October 29th, Friday, or that weekend, the Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
But right now, it's on the play. Those of you who have the PS3s, you know what I'm talking about. It's on the PlayStation Network, available, the whole thing, HD quality, for $3.99.
It's cheaper than going into the movie theaters.
Yeah. The only catch is once you download it, you can only watch it once, and that's it.
You have to keep going back.
Huh. Yeah. So you should make an event.
Like all real geeks, you watch it, and you can say, hey, I've seen that movie. Yeah. It's nothing new.
All right. You can review, blog about it. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I mean, Netflix is doing pretty good. Like, matter of fact, today, speaking of Netflix, on the instant stream, and I'll be running home after we do the show, we're gonna get, Sci-Fi Channel, Battlestar Galactica, the new one is there to stream the whole series. Battlestar Galactica is there. Sci-Fi shows, NBC shows.
Nice.
NBC Universal movies and shows. Everything is there starting today because they made a big deal with Universal NBC last week.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi and stuff on the USA Network also. We'll be on your instant stream. So now I really won't be going home just in time because it's too hot for me. And plus, rainy time is coming.
Yeah.
Rainy time.
So there you go. Anyway, so there you go. That's our show for today. We're not going to do a second hour today. We're going to replay your buddy, Tony Pachiti.
Nice.
He'll be talking next hour about, what's that book again?
My Best Friend is a Wookiee.
Yeah, so is Ramos. Yeah, but we'll do that for next hour because there will be some construction going on, and they warned us that we're just not going to be able to talk or yell over the drilling. So to avoid that, we'll just replay that hour. But we will be back tomorrow. We'll have some guests, same with the rest of the week. And we'll also have some guests on Friday because we will kick off the spirit of Halloween now.
This Friday.
So Roma's going to have to get under the count.
I'm scared already.
So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Next, enjoy Tony Pachiti. Till then, bye.